Thank you all for joining the Latin GP call on the 30th of April 2020. In the call, we have Bill, Matt, Michael, Mariana, Hasim, and Pitinan. Over to you, Mariana.
Well, last time, first we have to finish the discussion about I'm not sure what did happen with this combination of diacritics. Pitinan, could you recollect us? Could you just give a short explanation why we didn't do it when we are going through Appendix D? Did we forget it?
Let me come into that. So we didn't forget. We actually was looking at the case of multiple diacritics versus the singular diacritics. For example, if we look at 1EA5 on the screen, so the GP compared these characters versus the A with circumflex alone and another A with acute. So just to see the effect of maybe overflow for the multiple diacritics to the next letters. So that was done and it's got concluded. However, from the discussion, the GP also think maybe there is another case to look further, which is not about the multiple multiple diacritics and the sequence of it, but just specifically for circumflex plus acute versus tilde, which in some cases it might look confusing. For example, on the screen, if you see the A and A, the last one of the row two. So the first one is the circumflex and acute, but the second one is the tilde. So if it's placed in this position, maybe it can cause confusing. So that's why the GP decided maybe it's worth taking a look. So that's the additional case for the Appendix D.
And you have prepared these pictures.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Pitinan, for this. Sorry, I am forgetting a lot of things.
No problem.
Thank you very much for your help. I don't know, as I can recall, we might have some Michael is coming, that's good. We had some similar cases before when diacritics is going to the letter which is the next to the letter with two diacritics. But it was discussion once that diacritics never come to the right, to the left side of the letters. So for me, it is not confusing. But let's hear what the other people think. Any thoughts about this, please? Because we have to conclude this. Example, Michael, please. Michael, then we have Bill. First Michael, then Bill.
I agree with you, Mariana. To me, it's not similar enough to be a variant or even on the confusable list. They are quite different to me.
Thank you, Michael. Bill, please.
Yeah, I think it's at best a marginal case for a variant, and given that I have the broadest view of what should be a variant, if I'm not sure it's one, I think we can conclude that we shouldn't include it here. On the other hand, I think while some of the cases are very distinct, some of them are similar enough that it should be considered confusable. Thank you.
Mats, please.
Yeah, I agree with Bill. I mean, it's very they're very different depending on the typeface. Thank you.
But what is the proposal? So do we agree that there is no variant candidates in these examples, which we are viewing now on the screen? Yeah, Bill, but what should be confused with what? Sorry, I cannot catch properly the situation. Which code points with should be treated as confusables with what? Sorry. Yeah, Mats, please.
Well, I guess that just the construction of having those two diacritics is quite rare. And that could explain why they look so different, because the typeface constructors have not paid much attention to it. If anything should be confusable, I mean, the computer pair, I mean, they are on the screen. I mean, some of them of the double diacritics look like tilde. And then even though they maybe not look exactly the same as the tilde, the appearance is like a tilde. So if we look at this O on number 6 on the top row, I mean it's up. Well,
up on
and left, one left, this one here.
Yeah.
So the left one there, it looks like a tilde on. Maybe a little bit funny tilde when you enlarge it, but still, so that's the confusing about it. But then there are other cases where it's very distinct. So the one to the right, there is no chance that you confuse them. So in most cases, there is no chance of confusing. But in few cases, there is a potentially a risk of confusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mats. Michael, please.
Thank you. I think like if you want to analyze these categorically, I see like three types of potentials for confusion. So the first is what Mats just described, where the modifier becomes displayed to the right and prolongs the circumflex so that it kind of looks like a extended tilde, if you will so. The second case, which we also see here, for example, in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 case, third row of the O case. Yeah, him. So there you can see that it kind of more overlaps with the tilde on the following letter. So that would be the second kind of case we have, where the modifier overlaps with the following modifier, and therefore it just seems that we have like O with a circumflex and O with a tilde. And then there's a third case, which is not even rendered here, because these examples don't have a plain base character in between those two. So if we look at the A cases, for example, the last row, 1, 2, 3 case, we can see that the accent aigu, it's acute accent in English, right? The acute accent seems to hover in between the two characters. So if you had a plain A in between, it may give the appearance, and we have seen other such cases, that it kind of attaches to that A. So the A circumflex plus acute may seem like a sequence of A circumflex with acute. So those are visually the three kind of mix up which I see in these two graphics. I also think that based on our previous judgments, none of those probably hold enough weight to give way for a variant pair, but they may be candidates for the confusable strings list somehow, which should be highlighted, and the pairs which should be highlighted then should be the pairs presented here, plus the pairs plus the first character followed by a simple letter of the same type. So A circumflex and acute followed by simple A, as well as A circumflex acute followed by A with a tilde. Yeah, so those are the three cases I see, and those are the two types of pairs for each of the two characters, which I see, which may be argued or not to raise to the level of confusable strings similarity list somehow. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bill, please.
Yes, I would point out, Michael, if you look at the label on the O's, where it says comparing 1ED100Fox5 with, and then gives the two letters. On this display from Pitanon's screen, I think the level, the amount of confusion is pretty stark. So I think there's no real question. If you are a non-linguist and you happen to see one of those rather than the other, the chances are pretty slim that you will notice that you didn't see the one you were expecting. So I think it's confused. I think basically for both the A case and the O case, I think they're pretty solidly confusable, but I think that will, I think it's sufficient to say, okay, we'll list these as confusable. They're not variants, and we can move on to the next item on the agenda.
So, agreed, there is no variant will be considered again when creating confusable table. And do we all agree with these findings, with this finding for this case? Yeah, and if anyone, yeah, it seems that we agreed about this case. So Pitanon, thank you very much for your help, and let's see what is the next in the agenda. I hope you, yeah, this is the status of generic glyph analysis, which we have done in, which Pitanon, let's say, adjusted according to our discussion last time. And I hope you all have seen this, let's say, updated glyph analysis spreadsheet. And do we have it? Pitanon, could you please give us a look at this sheet? I hope Mats that you have seen this updated table, and I hope you are happy what Pitanon has done, at least, and that we can agree to finish this topic again. So Pitanon has marked all those changed code points with yellow, and examples also. Oh, something.
So may I come in just a little bit?
Yes, please, Pitanon, and then after that we have Mats.
Oh, thank you. So I, as discussed, I updated this to be sequences and the cases be highlighted in yellow. So it's the line number 10 to 15, and also another one on the last three. Also, we have some conversation on the emails about the role of 19, 20, and 21. I also updated as well. But unfortunately, on my screen, it cannot be shown. It will be just like these square things. So I'm gonna. I asked Myanmar GP to help capture the screen. So let me show that as well. So if it's rendered correctly on her machine, at least, it will become like this. So just to let you know that in case you want to see what is the clips for the machine that support, then we have this information for this question. Okay, so let me go back to the sheet and then give it back to the floor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Pitinan, very much. Mats, please.
Yeah, I mean, this is the correct way of comparing. Then, of course, the strings in H and I should also be adjusted accordingly, I think. I think there's... The final code point shouldn't probably not be there, because we are comparing the two sequences and they are repeated, and then there's an extra code point at the end in H and I.
Hi, Mats, may I ask? So do you mean, for example, in column H, it should be example dot circle and line, that's it?
Well, or it could be repeated, but the final circle there.
Okay, I understand.
Is not part of it. It's just like in 16 to 18, where we compare Latin small letter dot list I with Hebrew letter vav. We repeat it, and that's fine, but we don't have an extra character that which are different on the left and right side, or potentially different.
Yep, I understand your point. Thank you. I will change in other places as well. Okay, we can continue.
Okay. Any other suggestions to correct this table or to make it better? Because I'm completely lost with all this discussion. I'm just trying to move on our discussion. So. What will be our next steps? For example, all those letters which are not correctly presented here on Pitinan's screen, I have seen them correctly on my screen when using when viewing this table. Do we postpone a little bit more this decision about this table, or could we? Because I see. Some marks are missing still here, Mats. They are probably yours. Yeah, Bill, please go on. Maybe Bill can help us to move on. Bill, please.
Yes, I think we, some of us may want to fiddle around a little more with this table, but it appears to me that the conclusions about whether something is a variant or not are sufficiently solid that they're not going to be changed any further. And so it seems to me that we could take these results and revise the appropriate section in our main document and then move forward from there. And because I'm sitting at home unable to move around much, I will volunteer to take the first shot at that revision. The only question in my mind is exactly which copy of the document is our current master that I should look at revising, and perhaps when Pizanon writes up the notes from today, she could include a link to that just to make sure everybody's on the same page. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Mats, please.
Yeah, when it comes to the comparisons where I put question mark, the problem is that I don't see anything on the right column. In column I see just squares, just as I see it now. So I don't know if you can see it. So does it work on Windows but not on Mac?
Oh, I see this on Mac because I can print screen, which is on my Macintosh, and send it to you somehow.
But you can't. I see it just as we see it now with squares.
Yeah, I understand. You see the squares, and I think I see. Let me check. Generic glyphs. Yeah.
This is Pitinan. I shared a screenshot in the chat.
Yeah, those are some O's and some crescents to the left. Oh, no, so, yeah.
I see.
Opposite C. I see it. I see all code points, and some Lao letters are pretty strange. But everything is seen on my screen, so I can print the screen and send it to you.
Yeah, I see what Pitnan sent me.
Yeah,
I can.
But
see
I
that.
Can send you the whole. The whole screen somehow.
Right, but Pitnan sent.
My screen is small, and you will have five pieces on the screen, or just last three rows.
I guess that what Pitnan sent me is.
Yeah.
Is
I
enough.
Hope. Yeah. Because Pitinan showed those three last rows where we where are these specific letters. I don't know. We have a Macintosh. Is your Macintosh regularly upgraded? Because I'm upgraded it every time they give a new operating system. So. It works.
I don't have the latest version, but of the OS. I haven't done that final, I've upgraded all upgrades, but not to the latest version.
Oh, I see. So, are you satisfied with this print? Print which Pitinan sent to you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's good, thank you. So after that, you can give your opinion about those characters. And
yes.
And we can say that there is, it will probably be similar marks as we have done, as the other people gave. So probably we can say this table is almost done. Can we conclude like this? If any new ideas or questions emerge, we shall discuss it again before, but we can put it in Appendix Z or somewhere else, and we can say that we found that two or three code points, characters are variants with Latin characters. Bill can do it. Okay, Mats, do you have to add something? Do you have to add something?
No, fine.
No, thank you, Mats. Hazim, please.
Yes, it definitely depends on the version of the operating system. Because on my Windows 7 laptop, it appears as squares too. In the Windows 10, it the characters appear.
So yeah.
When I rated it, I looked at the mobile. They were appearing in the mobile.
So they are even appearing in the mobile. Okay. Yes.
So it depends on the operating system.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and fonts which are included in this package. Thank you, Hazem. So we can say that we have concluded for now this topic. Let's see what is the next on the agenda. I forgot. Thank you, Pitina. Yeah. We had some discussion last time about Keep Ink underlining analysis and what to do with the data we have collected. We remember that we recall that Bill made a thorough, a very very serious analysis of cases where underlining is overwriting the diacritic below. After that, we made an analysis where skipping feature is about platforms on which skip ink feature is implemented or not. And we are stuck what to do with the results. There were some ideas last time, but I cannot remember. Probably someone who gave this idea could remember us, or we have to think about, to listen to the recording of from our previous session maybe. And we have to try to do something with this data if we have no ideas what to do with it. I don't know. I'm not clever enough to say what could be done with all this analysis and how this should be presented, because it seems that at least to me, it seems that this skipping feature is relatively well, I mean, on some platforms are almost well implemented, and all our analysis is done for nothing, but maybe there is a different view. Mats, please go on.
Yes, I'm not convinced that the result changes anything really, because there are still systems that don't have it, and actually, I mean, you can in documents and in web pages you can create whatever. So the skipping doesn't change anything, the possibility of fooding someone. You can still be confused, and you can still be fooled independent of the skipping. And in the address bar, you never have underlining. I'm not sure if this underlining it was a dead end or if it's really something to consider. Thank you.
Yeah, I have the same feeling, but and my first thoughts were as yours, but after that someone proposed something, how these findings could be used, and I forgot who was it. Who was this? And please, shall I don't know how to proceed with this topic at all.
I must say Pitinan, that I'd like to be in the queue.
Please, Pitinan, if you remember what we proposed, because it was at the end of the meeting after this discussion that this is some kind of dead end. Please go on.
Sorry. the GP hasn't reached the conclusion, but it was discussed toward the ideas that actually underlining is relevance, like Matt mentions, and perhaps that's one of the possible ways to respond to the IP. And we stopped there. We didn't actually reach any conclusion from the last meeting. But for what I want to suggest, I think perhaps if the GPs has enough evidence that, and that actually these issues is not really relevant to underlining, and the GP also conduct quite an extensive analysis on it, I think it's fair enough to write up about it and can conclude that this is something GP consider not relevant and just document it in the proposal. I think IP doesn't really force the GP to accept the idea, but they just need to be explicitly discussed and documented in the proposal. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Pitinen. We have now Michael.
Michael, yeah, please. Thank you. I was going to say something similar to what Pitinen said. So we have analyzed it and we have this data, and I think it's okay to come to a conclusion that it's a non-problem, so to say. And what we could do is we could just write up our views about, based on our discussion, about how we see this problem, in which situation it may create a problem, which situations may not create a problem, and this basically this differentiation between the fact that it does not occur in address bars, but only occurs in documents, and that there are other ways to confuse users. So I think if we write up this kind of rationale we have and present it together with the data and come to a conclusion, then IP will have the chance to say, okay, this is sufficient or not. So I think this should be the way forward, maybe. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Thank you very much. Bill, please.
Since IP brought up this, my inclination would be to write up, you know, flesh out the write-up that we have here a little bit and just send it to them separately. Send it to them, you know, in a week or so, you know, whenever we can get it written up, and say, you brought up this, here's what we found, and just leave it at that. I don't, I would incline not to put it in our final document unless the IP comes back and says, we really want you to include this. I think it would, you know, just, you asked a question, here's the answer, and do with it what you will. We're going to get back to our regular job, and just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I must say, it took us at least 2 months to finish this topic, and they are pressing us to finalize our report as soon as possible. Maybe 3 months, I cannot recollect properly. Maybe Bill's proposal is a pragmatic one, that we can send them response to their questions, what with underlining, what we found that we think it is not a problem for variants. And although I prefer the idea to include everything because we lost a lot of time doing it, but that's just my nature. I will agree with the proposal which panel thinks is the best to finalize our task. Yeah, I think that Bill's proposal is pretty pragmatic, and see their reaction and ask them, do you want this to be included in final report or not? It is correct. I mean, it is correct. It is fair, and the decision is on them. What do you think? No hands up? Please think a little bit about this. I will ask next time who will be so nice to make a piece of text and explain what we have done, what we have found, and why we think it is not relevant for our analysis. Michael, please.
Since you, yes, thank you. Since you said no hands up, I commented in the chat box where I wrote that I think we should include all data collected, irrespective of the conclusion arising out of it. Maybe you have overlooked that. Thank you.
Yeah, Michael, thank you very much. But I'm not quick enough to follow everything what is going on the screen. So I'm I just don't see what someone writes in the chat. Sorry for this, but everything is there for the documentation. Okay. Sorry, I didn't, Michael, I didn't catch a prop. Yeah, I will read what you have written here. Yeah, not to ask you to repeat it. Yeah, I agree with you that we should, but I think it is the pragmatic way to go to send them our, let's say, part of our report and ask them, do you want this to be included or not? Maybe they will like to include this part in the document in our report, at least as an appendix, because probably they had some questions about this problem. And if we explain clearly why it is not important anymore and that we have done our analysis, the other people who are pointing to, underlining and so on will shut up. That's just one way of thinking. Okay. Thank you for this. So we agreed to write a report. Why we don't, it is not important, and try to get an opinion from IP. Okay, let's see what is next on. Yeah, we have 20 more minutes of this of today call. Pitinan, will you please show what is the next?
Yep. But may I have a question before that?
Yes, please, Pitinan, please.
Yes. Just wondering, when you say the GP conclude that this is not relevant, is it mean just the skipping part or the whole underlining? Just for my benefit to
take it. As I understand, it is the whole underlining, because if the link is written in the browser, there is no underlining and everything is clear then. And if the link is written somewhere in the text, it can be, you can put under this, let's say, what we see on the in the text, you can put whatever kind of link you like. So it doesn't help. In any way, it doesn't help to any user to see is he or her fooled or not. That's how I understand the whole thing. Maybe someone else can clarify or say it in a better way than I have said it.
Yes, that's answered my question.
Is it okay? Thank you, Pitinan. Now we have to discuss next 20 minutes what will be our priorities and how shall we finalize our report, because I think all the analysis is finished up to now. All analysis which we had are finished now, and we have to put all those things in our report and try to do it in the best way, let's say. So Pitinan will send again a link with last version of the report, although it is somewhere on the Hazen's OneDrive. And at least what I remember from, because we haven't done anything with the report last few months, we have to look very seriously what we have done with InScript variant analysis, although you had some discussion during during Brussels meeting, and you have made some decisions how the new calculation of variance. So we have at least to finalize two topics. One is very important. This one which is called inscript variant analysis, and another one is to discuss how shall we order our confusables for similarity review. Although it is not so important, it should be done in one moment. So that's how I see we have to proceed with finalizing our work. Is there any other thoughts, opinions, better suggestions?
Hi, Mariana, I'd like to add something.
Please, Pitina, go on. Thank you.
Thank you. So exactly what the step you suggested, I just would like to take a few minutes to show the latest version to everybody here as well. Maybe it's easier for get everybody on the same page. So okay. Let me point out where it is now. I have way too many screen open. Is this one? Okay. So basically I still keep posting things on LatinGP wiki page. And if you go there, on the first link is the OneDrive working folder. So when you click that, it will go to Hasem working folder for LatinGP. Okay. And this is all the working materials that we are working on currently. But the most important thing is the current versions. So if you go in there, then unfortunately the whole proposal, somehow the file is corrupt. So if I open the full proposal, I can open it, but after I edited, I couldn't save. So what I fixed is I broken down this huge file into the chapters. So each section will have its own files like this. And all the way to all the sections and the appendices. Okay. And at the last file, I have the issue tracker. And this is actually me and Sam are using it to help keeping track on what's going on. So basically it's listed all the sections similar to the list of the files. And each one will have three status. It's either done or pending, which is mean not reaching the conclusion yet or concluded already, but haven't edited back in the proposal. So since about the last month, whenever the GP made decisions, I also noted in this, and sometimes it's just decide and close. Sometimes it's decided and then we need to fix some places. So just a quick browse, like for example, the issues about small letter D with Karong and D with the hook. And then we touch upon whether the D with Karong should be in the repertoire. Then the decision made, we locked it. And I marked that we need to do some edits in section 5.3, which is inclusion of the repertoire. And if you go back to the list of files and go to 5.3, then that's where the place that if any edits will be happening now, it should be there. So this is 5.3. Me and Sam are actually trying to add some of the edits that we quite sure that is already concluded in. So whatever we mark, so this is the new section about inclusion of the DLT with Karong, and we capture what the GP discussed here. And we mark it for whenever we can schedule to review section by section, then this is where the point GP has to take special review because it's new from us based on the decision. And that's about it. I just want to take you through where the files is. Thank you. So for example, if Bill volunteers to update the inscript variance table, I will also come and update notes somewhere here in the relevant section that this is taken by Bill. Thank you.
Kristina, thank you very much for this. It was a lot of work to do it, but it is very easy to follow what is going on, and we have a track of everything, who is doing what he is doing. And this is amazing job. Thank you very much for this. I think me alone, I will never finish it. So, Bill, please go on.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to also thank Pitinan for going through and doing all of this. I would say that at the moment, I need some time to go through all of this. And so I think perhaps the best use of the remaining time today might be to go through and discuss how are we going to decide what we are going to list as confusables. We've done an enormous number of evaluations and identified variants, but we have both items which several of us thought were variants, but not quite enough of us. We also have items where pretty much all of us agreed that they were confusable, but nobody thought they were variants. And I'm not sure whether we're going to say everything in both of those categories should be listed in the confusables appendix, or if somebody has a different view of what we're going to include for the use of the similarity review panel. Thank you.
Michael, please.
Yeah, thank you. I have a question more or less about the system which was just presented by Pitinan, but Bill's comment was on another thing. I'm not sure, do you want me to... I don't want to break your discussion, Bill.
We had just a Bill's proposal, and we are just, let's say, talking about everything and see what we shall done at the end. Yeah, please go on, Michael.
Well, so first of all, it's really good work, Pitinan. It seems like a good system because we really had problems with the old Google Docs. And even when we converted that to Word, we had a lot of problems because there were problems in the conversion process and the round tripping between the different versions. So it's good if we now have the split up version, but it was difficult to find agreement on that earlier, I think also, like how to approach this. My question is only, how much, to what level is there certainty that all contents, all comments were transferred to this new system? So I'm interested in to understand like how safe is this new version when it comes to that all kind of comments and information not already finished and wrapped up in the text is present in these documents. Thank you.
I actually built this document based on what we submitted to the IP last time. And so for example, if you recall, there will be like TBD part where Mariana put that TBD and then the IP comment and then another tag saying this is not completed yet. All that comment still in the document. I don't really recall there are any extra from those kind of comments. But if it's that kind of notes, everything is in this new folder.
So comments from the Google Docs version, as well as comments from Word versions converted on the basis of Google Docs are both present in these documents. Do I understand that right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I would have one request. So if any volunteers do the edits, I would request you log in into your Microsoft account before. So that way we can track who did the edits in the review. Thank you.
Yeah, that's very important to log in with your Microsoft account before accessing this OneDrive. Otherwise, there is no information who has done what. But everybody has at least Skype or some simple Microsoft product, and which forced him to open a Microsoft account. I found that I have two of them, so that's it. I hope you all have at least one Microsoft account, and please log in before editing or adding any comments into these documents. Otherwise, we shall have some. We shall see that someone was doing something on the document, but we shall not know who is doing what. Michael, do you want still to say something?
Yeah. About the access rights. I assume that every member of the group has writing access and everyone else only has read access, because I saw that the links were posted on the wiki page, right?
I think this is a little bit different situation here. Everyone with link to this drive devoted to our work can do everything on the documents. I mean, everybody could edit or change or whatever. So that's mm-hmm. why, and the changes will be tracked, because it is normal Word document, and it is all the changes are done with Microsoft Word. And we shall see that the changes are there, but only if you are not logged to your Microsoft account, we can't see that the changes were done by you. Yeah, maybe I missed the question, Michael.
I think Pitinen was going to respond to that also, right?
Okay, thank you. Pitinen, please go on, right. And after that we have Hazem.
Yes, so Mariana was right. For this setting, everybody who has access can edit the files. And I think we are at the stage that we are editing, so I open it like that. Just that I just make sure that we don't lose anything by backup often. So I backup this set of files every few days, actually. And if we are going to edit heavily, I plan to backup daily, just for my safety.
Yeah.
So that's all. Thank you.
So backup cycle is a good thing. I know that this OneDrive Word files, they also do automatic versioning, which you can see under the file menu. But if everyone has write access, that means there could also be like, I don't know, like flaming or all kinds of things where just random people come and edit these documents. Hopefully it will not happen, but we kind of exclude it. So maybe it would be useful to restrict the user access. If there is a way, because if you type into these documents, the changes will only be tracked if you keep on the functionality of tracking changes, and you cannot enforce that on the user. So whether we see a change or not depends on the setting the user has set in his client, whether he uses the web interface or whether he uses the Word client on his platform, whatever, Mac or Windows operating system. I'm not sure if I'm making myself understood. So we need to be sure that we kind of enforce some kind of editing policies on this document to ensure that people don't make changes without us noticing it. Because that can happen irrespective of if someone is logged in with their account or not, I believe. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Hazem, please.
Yes, I think the access rights is only possible to either with an account or without account. So if it's left, so anyone with the link, it would be like a public share. So when it's on the wiki page, which is also public, then the share is open to anyone to edit it, to make changes. So I would suggest to remove it from now from the wiki page, to remove the link from the wiki page for now. Did we finish our work? Thank you.
Sure, but it won't be I want to just highlight that this won't be a fix, because whatever has been on the wiki page has been archived on different engines on the internet. So the link is out there. We can't unhide the link unless you stop sharing and reshare and the link gets regenerated. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, we can try. There are only 8 of us with Pitinen and maybe 9 with Sarmad. We need, if we have to grant access for editing to only 2 people from this group, we shall need all your accounts on the Microsoft, and it will be good to send those accounts to Pitinan or to me, it doesn't matter. And then we can restrict editing rights and give just reading rights to everyone who wants to read what we are doing. So that's one way to go to overcome this problem. Shall we do that way, Mats, please?
Yeah, I definitely think that we should restrict it to us. So we must be logged in and it's tracked who is who.
Okay, we shall do this. Please send your Microsoft emails to the group. I mean, to the link, to our mail list. And we shall restrict the access only, editing rights will, only people from this group will have editing rights, all the other could read it and so on. We shall do it somehow. I think it is one of the standard ways to do it. Okay,
yes, we shall continue. It is possible to restrict it to specific people. So just
that's what we want to do. Okay, to keep our work safe. We have 2 more minutes till the end of this hour, so I don't want to start any new discussion about anything at this moment. I want just to ask you if you have any other business, anything to mention, anything to add. No hands up. So I will close the meeting in a few moments, and I want you all the best for the rest of the day. And I hope this virus, Corona, is going out from your countries. At least we feel better now in Serbia because we can go out after 8 weeks. Oh no, after 6 weeks, we can go out for a walk. And that's all. Thank you all for taking your part in this discussion and in this call. And we shall hear each other next Thursday again. So, Goodbye and all the best.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Take care.